Mornings with Bucky and Aaron are brought to you by Bud Light.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Oh, man, people weighing in on the Specs text line. Always good, always fun. This says Michael Jordan and Jimmy Butler don't look anything alike. You can look it up. I'm assuming it's not true, but it's fun for gossip. Also, this says, hey, we've surpassed Trey Elling now for dumbest thing said. Magic has 5 rings, 3 MVPs. Steph Curry, not close.
Steph Curry has 3 championships, could win 4. Has 2 MVPs and didn't play with arguably the greatest scorer of all time.
Kareem. You should have just said Isaiah.
I was going to say, really? I knew Steph Curry had some MVPs now.
He does.
Yeah, he does.
And somebody pointed out, what would Magic do in this day and age? Magic would be unbelievable. Magic was unbelievable. But in this open, freewheeling style and as big as he is, thinking, watching Luka, I mean, he would have feast without hand checks and the defense that was played back then. But you'd say that for a lot of players. It's like Steph Curry, props to the Warriors, are a win away now from another trip to the finals, and they can put themselves in a really advantageous position if they can close out the Mavs tomorrow night and let the Celtics and Heat beat each other up for several more games.
No way a sweep, though. A sweep of that group?
We'll see. Unless
the Mavs got to fall in at least one game.
Drawing from the post game of the Mavs, who look like they have little resistance left. They needed
are
a
they
win
mentally
left.
Beat down?
Well, or they just are resigned to the fact that they got to beat that team 4 times. Before they lose another time. That's, I don't know. But, you know, we'll see. That's why we tune in. I didn't think yesterday, and I will admit I don't watch a lot of Premier League soccer, but I read a story yesterday morning about the final day of the Premier League, and I knew there were games on. So yesterday morning I was watching Manchester City play Aston Villa.
You're watching soccer?
I was.
On Sunday morning?
The emotion was there, and so I turned it on, and I knew the subplot because I had read what was on the line in the final day. Manchester's the best team, and all they had to do was beat a much lesser team in Aston Villa, and if they win that, they're going to be the champions. And they were losing 2-0. They were down 1-0 into the second half, and you could kind of feel the tension in the stadium. Everybody's freaking out. Then they give up another goal on an incredible play by the Aston Villa player. He, you know, just a brilliant play to get a goal. So now it's 2-0, and then into the inside with, you know, to the 80th minute, Buck. You know, they play 90 minutes, right? And now it's into the 85th minute. Manchester City scored 3 goals in 5 minutes and 30 seconds to win the match and win the title. Unbelievable. Looked like, because if they had lost and Liverpool won when Liverpool was winning, they were going to win the Premier League. Incredible. So who knows? Mavs are down 3-0. Stranger things have happened. That was pretty strange yesterday. 3 goals in 5.5 minutes to win a championship.
And not all of Kansas teams can beat Texas. Get yourself some of that. Sweep City. Jayhawks. Yeah. How you like that, Jayhawks?
Well, they did. And they did beat Texas in football, too, if you remember.
That hasn't come in. That hasn't calculated with me yet. Still,
we beat them in basketball.
There you go, Zay.
They're the champs.
Big Monday. Big Monday.
Big
hoops.
Monday night. Remember Big Monday? Hey, y'all remember Big Monday, right?
I do. So that was cool. That looked good for Man City. And all of a sudden they win. Not looking good for the Mavs. But their post-game body language, which I know you're big on, was not strong.
I don't like to hear the coach go through that. Coach got to fake it out at least.
Yeah, well, or you just kind of
He didn't do a good job faking it last night, Zay.
Good first year. No. What is that? Good season. All right, good season, guys.
Hey, nobody expected us to be here. Oh, yeah. Hey, thanks, coach.
Was that Remember the Titans when they lost at the end? And okay, guys, good season. Good season.
We weren't expected to be playing this far into the season, right?
Final 4 for the Mavs, you'll take that. And Jason Kidd's first year and Luka, they still need some more pieces. The Spencer Dinwiddie trade was a smart one. They can use him and build with him. They still need more. And, you know, Golden State looks like they can go on and win the title. They're that talented and that deep. Celtics and obviously the Heat will have something to say about that. But that's where that stands.
Michael Jordan's kid?
No. Stop. I'm just telling you, that's what's gone viral these days, is people are making that, they're connecting timelines and dots, and I don't believe
people
that.
Have things to do. Isn't there stuff to do? No, say, there's nothing to do anymore?
All right, so we'll talk Texas baseball, where they stand after they swept the Kansas Jayhawks in that thrilling win on Saturday, the weird game with all the heat, and the umpire had to bail out. We'll get back to the baseball. But also still, you know, churning around the conversation piece is the Nick Saban, Jimbo Fisher situation from last Thursday and Friday. That spills into Monday. And I read this story, pretty good stuff, from Ross Dellinger at Sports Illustrated. The headline is, as coaches squabble about NIL, enforcement may still be leagues away, it says. And he says that overshadowed by the public barbs and all the accusations, both coaches, Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher, have openly, you know, said, Saban said, has encouraged the NCAA to begin enforcing its own bylaws. Fisher said he wants Congress to create a uniform policy to govern name, image, and likeness. But many within the sport don't see that happening anytime soon. And the way not Ross Dellinger wrote it this morning, he says, many within college sports believe one of those things is necessary to bring some kind of regulation to what has evolved into a pay-for-play scheme that officials say is disrupting the recruiting landscape. But he says, however, while the association, which is NCAA, released additional NIL guidelines earlier this month, there is little evidence that it plans to enforce that guideline. The NCAA is paralyzed by legal fears and significantly understaffed, officials say. So they're going to say we're going to do something about it, but it's like the barking dog that's inside the car when you're walking by. They're barking at you, but are they really going to do anything? Can they do anything? Are they? Because we've already heard these head of these collectives saying, go try it. We're ready for court. You ready for court? We're ready to go there. We've got it. We've covered all our compliance bases. You know, do something about it. Come in and drop heavy penalties on us and prove it, and then we'll end up in a courtroom.
And I just believe these presidents who know how important football is to their universities at this level have got to be the ones that say, we're going to hire a commission ourselves.
I think it's inevitable that there will have to be some type of consensus.
It can't be the coaches.
Because, again, that, you know, whatever Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher, they both agree. It needs structure. Steve Sarkisian has said it. We need structure here. We're all kind of drifting and playing in the gray area trying to figure it out. But there has to be a governing body. There has to be something put in place. But at the same time, I mentioned earlier, you know, I think two quick things that you could do, but, again, somebody would have to enforce them. Two quick things would be you can't collect any NIL money until you've played a game at your school. And I know that people are going to say, well, you know, Quinn Ewers already at Texas, you know, well, but he can't make any money here until he plays a game, plays a football game. That's not a crazy rule. That's not preventing him from you know, cashing in on his name, image, and likeness. He hadn't played a football game yet. Now, he's enrolled at the school. I get that. He went through spring practice. But I don't think that's too harsh or too rigid of a rule. You sign, but if you made it about once you step on the field or your court or your wherever, you can then start collecting name, image, and likeness deals, even through these collectives, you know, doesn't that prevent what happens on signing day or ahead of signing day? Now, there can be promises.
But
what's happening now is actually bags of money, pay for play, like here's your money. As I said, Rosh Bjork, the AD, has already admitted there's a freshman at A&M, one of the prize freshmen. He's already got an NIL deal.
Well, I said that last year. They're not coming on your campus until they got their money.
Well, and that's what's got to get adjusted. And I don't know who regulates that, how they do it. But you're right. Until they do anything about it, they're going to keep doing it. And so I think that would be pretty simple. You can, you know, and I by my reading of the Supreme Court ruling, that would live up to, you're not telling them they can't make money. You can't.
Oh no, you can make adjustments to it for sure.
And they're going to want to. Would it stand up in court? I don't know. I'm not a lawyer, but at the same time. That would be a rule. Now, the other side of that, people would say, that's already a rule. You're already not supposed to be doing that. Now, you know, there's the real gray area of once they're enrolled at school, if they haven't played a game, then they can do the NIL. But, you know, that's why I say put the first game. Once you play a game, you know, now you're in the market for that money. And that's name, image, and likeness. Also, I really think that they need to push because they're not. I don't think they're going to eliminate the one-time transfer. But as Steve Sarkisian said last week on his tour of Texas, what about a 2-year limit? Right, if you commit to a place, you've got to stay 2 years. If you do, once you're 2 years in, you can then transfer without a penalty. But and like Jordan Addison, right, the receiver
sure.
from Pitt, he would qualify under that. He played two full seasons at Pittsburgh, transferred. Now he's going to USC. Even under that idea, he'd be within it. But the one and done type of thing, you know, just at least 2 years. And if you try to transfer within that 2 year window, then you do have to sit out until that 2 years up.
Slows it down a bit.
That would slow it down a little bit. Those two things to start with. But again, would they stand up in court? Is anybody going to enforce them? Who's going to say no? Those are the things that everyone, I think.
I just must be naive to the fact that I'm thinking that one time, if you decided you're going to go to one school and then decide to transfer, you need to sit out. You need to sit out a year. And I just can't imagine somebody, even somebody wealthy, giving you money to be on a college campus, spending their money and not playing the sport that you're supposed to get paid for because you've got to sit out. I don't know. I mean, rich people just don't give their money away, do they? Or rich.
Some do.
I mean, wow.
Some do.
I thought that would slow it down enough right there.
Oscar De La Hoya bet $500,000 on Tiger Woods to win the Masters. Some rich people do give their money away. Well, no, just saying.
Not all of them are smart. But,
some do.
Man, oh man.
Yeah. Also on the college football front, we'll take your thoughts on that. Ongoing conversation, but discouraging to hear, but not surprising from Ross Dellinger that, you know, they can say what they want. Doesn't feel like anything's coming. Now, this will be a big summer. School will get out. They'll have having their president's meetings and leadership meetings.
Oh, the president's
got
to step in on this deal.
Got to think. We also have this, Arch Manning, now that his junior season is over at Isidore Newman High School in New Orleans, Louisiana, he can turn his attention back to recruiting. And according to this story, filed by Steve Wilfong over at 24/7 Sports, the Manning family says they're going to make three trips this month, or next month, June. Three trips in June. They're going to be at Georgia the first week of June, then Alabama, then Texas, the weekends to follow. He's already visited each of those programs several times, including returns this past spring for a game last fall.
So no schools are new. Nothing has popped up, right?
Yeah, there were reports he was going to visit LSU and Florida because they both have new coaches, right? He wasn't considering them. Now Brian Kelly's at LSU. Billy Napier is at Florida. But in this story, he just says he's going to visit those three, and it feels like that's going to remain his final three. Obviously, Alabama, as he said to 24/7 Sports, the quarterback play has been insane. They've had Bryce, Mack, and Tua. Bryce Young, Mack Jones, and Tua Tagovailoa. So the machine of Alabama. Also, there's Georgia, really good staff, have athletes all over the place. He said to 24/7 Sports, Arch did, I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with the quarterbacks this year and just asking some questions on my official visit. Right? That's interesting to me with Georgia because a lot of people think Georgia's the favorite. That he likes Athens a lot, and that they're just really talented. But the thing you keep hearing from the recruiting insiders is that the Manning family not only wants, you know, wins are important, but it's about development, and they see Steve Sarkisian as a high-level quarterback developer for the next level and really like what he does with quarterbacks. And, you know, Peyton and Eli have a history with that, the uncles, because they both played for David Cutcliffe. Remember,
right.
David Cutcliffe was the offensive coordinator for Peyton at Tennessee. Really, you know, enjoyed working with him. Then that's one of the reasons, one of the strong reasons, Eli chose Ole Miss to go play for David Cutcliffe there. And, you know, if they're looking for quarterback development, Georgia. You know,
I would think that Georgia just has that, the ability to get the ball back so he gets a lot of snaps offensively and you get to see him a lot as a player. He gets to develop as a quarterback. I don't know. I can't imagine them having a big-time quarterback, you know, guru at Georgia, but they have big-time football players. And they have defense to go along with offense, and they win a lot.
Yeah. But, you know, Stenson Bennett, just essentially a game manager.
Right.
Most of the quarterbacks under Kirby Smart have been that. And that, you know, that's what Nick Saban was doing when he first got to Alabama, right? They were winning with the Greg McElroys and those type of quarterbacks. They've evolved that. And now, you know, the defense is still strong at Alabama, but now it's about offense and quarterbacks, and Georgia hasn't gone there yet. You know, does that lead you back to Alabama? Or there's Texas. The fact that Texas off 5-7 is still in this conversation and they're a top three tells you there's serious interest from the Manning family.
About the coach.
And
the area.
Yeah, and the area, the investment opportunities here. You know, people want to be in Austin. Reports that Dad Cooper really likes Austin and you know wants to could plant some roots here. We'll see. There's, you know, name, image, and likeness era. There's a lot going on here. A lot of, you know, branding opportunities, marketing here in Austin and the new tech boom capital. There's that. And, you know, he likes Austin. Likes
brand
the coaches,
that family, yes.
Likes the coaches quite a lot. And, you know, we'll see. That's where it's at. You said earlier, you'd rather be the last team than the first team.
No, I'd rather be the last for sure.
Which you get the last pitch. And if
I have a better feeling for this than I did for the wide receiver. I was like,
Jordan Addison, yeah.
That dude, the day that they said, oh, he's getting ready to head off to Southern California after he was in Austin, I'm like, bye, y'all. Bye, Felicia.
See ya.
See ya.
That dude is gone.
Bye, Felicia.
Man, all he had to do to get is to get to Southern Cal. Plus, that was, I mean, and you got a quarterback that you know and you grew up around.
Maybe later this week I'll have to pull the audio. Apparently there was a sports talk host in Pittsburgh that went on a huge rant about this and actually challenged Lincoln Riley to a fight, said I'll beat him up.
Jeez.
Yeah, that's good radio. It's good radio. But you can understand at Pittsburgh that they're frustrated. Pat Narduzzi, since some early, you know, frustrations, taking the high ground, hadn't said much. But the radio host in Pittsburgh said, I know for a fact that they were going to build their entire offense around Jordan Addison, and they were going to push him for Heisman and push him to, you know, go back to
that. Yeah, with a brand new quarterback, right.
Well, you know the quarterback's going to be at Pittsburgh is Keaton Slovis, yes. The USC transfer. So you know, it's not Kenny Pickett, but they'd have a quarterback. They also have a new offensive coordinator. But obviously Jordan Addison had other ideas, and USC for Lincoln Riley.
I mean, there didn't seem like a lot of people thought that he was going to be here because the word USC was still there.
But look, we'll see. Jordan Addison's a really good player. I mean, that's a legitimately great football player, and that's why Pittsburgh's so upset. Texas went all in. Obviously, he's going to end up at USC. They've got Caleb Williams as their quarterback now. They've rebuilt their offense through the transfer portal, essentially. And Lincoln Riley not only went to USC, took Alex Grinch, the defensive coordinator, with him. So they should be pretty salty on defense. We saw what Alex did in the few years in Norman to improve the defense that needed it when Mike Stoops was let go. So USC should be a factor on the West Coast this year, which is good for college football, right? No matter what they're doing, That's good for college football. USC's kind of, like Texas, been off the map, and be good to see them back in the mix. There's your college football of the morning. Coming back, we'll hit your college baseball of the morning, where things stand for the Longhorns, headed into this week's Big 12 baseball tournament. They finished and did what they needed to do, strong down the stretch, but they didn't get much help elsewhere in the Big 12 conference. We'll get you the details there and where it all stands. Also, we'll pay tribute to the finish of Ivan Melendez's historic regular season, where it all stands as they head postseason now. Also, Texas women's tennis with a national championship. Texas softball still alive. They were the last team to punch their ticket into the round of 16 last night with that upset of Washington. Get you details. It's all coming on B&E.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E on the horn indeed. A Monday, top of the hour, Light the Tower takes the baton. Continues the live local conversation. Craig, Jeff, and Snoop, their thoughts on the weekend.
So, yeah, that poor horse that Charles Barkley rode in on last night. Yeah,
he did
named
up in Dallas.
Kelly. That Kelly was hurt. She was like, oh, my back.
Well, somebody said, seems like I've seen a 6'4 heavy black man on a horse before.
crushing the horse's back again. Charles was killing that horse. And then when he tried to get off of it, he tried to lift that back leg over the saddle, Zay. Damn, he almost got caught up in there. If that dude would have gone down, look out below.
That horse could have started bucking. Usually a horse will spook with that if you start to
mess around his backside.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's terrible.
That's terrible.
That's what she said.
And the Mavericks went out and lost that ball game and not looking good for the Mavs. Zay mentions, hey, this is interesting. We told you Bijan Robinson was courtside last night watching the game, few seats down from Patrick Mahomes and his crew. But you said that Steph Curry gave Bijan his game jersey after the game?
Yeah, Bijan Robinson is out here. Like Buck said, he is a professional athlete.
Pros doing things with pros.
Front row tickets, talking to Patrick Mahomes and Micah Parsons. Yeah, Bijan's living his best life. That's for sure.
Yeah, man. Got a season to play coming up. Get yourself ready. But by all accounts, this is a young man with a great head on his shoulders. And as Sarkis said, if anybody deserves it, and name, image, and likeness, that guy lives up to it in every phase. Good for him. But he didn't bring the homestanding Mavericks, a victory. Texas baseball will be headed up to the Metroplex. Big 12 tournament begins on Wednesday at the Globe Life Park in Arlington. Good thing about that, about taking it indoors, you know, when they were playing in Oklahoma City, there will be rain delays and weather. Not a factor at Globe Life. They've got the roof, so these games will be in weather-controlled environments starting on Wednesday for the Longhorns. And as we said, they are the 5 seed. Even though they finished with a sweep and finished strong, they didn't move up any because nothing really helped them at the top. give credit to TCU. They're the one seed, and they win the Big 12 regular season. Texas Tech, 2. Oklahoma played their way into the 3 seed with Skip Johnson. Oklahoma State, 4. And that's who the Longhorns will play on Wednesday morning at 9. And remember, Oklahoma State swept Texas in the regular season, so the Longhorns will be looking for their first win against the Cowboys in that game. Longhorns win. I mean, this is obviously a double elimination tournament, so you want to stay in the winner's bracket as long as you can. If you lose, then you're back the next morning.
Yep.
For Texas. So that's where they are. As we said earlier, you know, the Longhorns are headed to the SEC at some point, hopefully sooner than later, and they're going to, you know, rekindle the rivalry with Texas A&M. But that rivalry may rekindle in 2 weeks because the latest projection from D1 Baseball has the Longhorns as the 2 seed in the College Station Regional, playing Texas A&M along with Army and UTSA, I think it is. Wouldn't that be interesting? And
wow.
Our man CB on Twitter reminded us the last 2 times, actually Kendall Rogers, last 2 times Texas played the Aggies in regionals, Texas won both, 2014 and 2018. Went to Omaha both times. So we shall see where that ends up. We will know next Monday. We won't be here on Memorial Day Monday of next week. We'll take the 3-day weekend like most of you. We'll know. We'll be coming in on Tuesday talking all things tournament. Also, we know the Texas women's softball team is in the tournament,
mm-hmm.
and they're already into the second weekend. They played their way after winning the regional at Seattle, Washington. They beat the Huskies yesterday, or last night. They were the last team in and for the 16, and they're going to Fayetteville this weekend for a super regional with the Hogs.
It's been a pretty good year for Texas sports.
By the way, can you call a ladies' team the Hogs?
Hoggettes? Hawkettes?
Just the Razorbacks.
Piglets?
I mean, I'm just saying, I'm just on the edge here. What am I allowed to get? I call them.
They're the Hogs. They're still the Hogs.
Thinking, oh, man, those ladies would be mad. I called them Hogs.
But they're Hogs. if they're going to Arkansas, they don't mind being called Hogs. Would they?
I don't know many females in the world that actually.
Hoggettes.
Don't like being called, that like being called Hogs.
Maybe they're the Hoggettes.
But they go to Arkansas. They just got to know that.
Right. Yeah, I don't think piglets would be all that much fun.
No. No, but that'll be a formidable challenge for the Longhorns and their softball team because Arkansas, the 4 seed, says the Sows. No.
That's worse.
No. You know, it's that time of, you know, sensitivity. What are we allowed to say? I was asking earlier, could I call Larry Bird the Hick from French Lick? Had a guy that said, heck yeah, I'm from southern Indiana. You can come. I'm a hillbilly Hick. Stay proud.
That's right, cutting his own grass down in Brookline.
Oh, man. It's going to be fun baseball. Well,
by the way, that house that he lived in looked like a little funeral home. The red brick. I mean, I'm telling you, it did.
He lived in a little house, huh?
He lived in a little, and that thing had to be no more than 2 bedrooms.
Call it the birdhouse? Ding, ding. See?
You get right that? Right around the rotary there, right on your way to Brookline, which I've never seen. Bet you they let Larry Bird in that place.
Brookline, Mass?
Yeah. Where they're about to play the.
Somebody will tell the story. We'll get the story before the U.S. Open in a month, but. Who was the kid that grew up across the street, not a golfer, but learned to play golf and ended up winning some?
What, did he get underneath the fence and go play there?
I'm pretty sure it was the story of the book and the movie, The Greatest Game Ever Played. Like he this little amateur kid who lived across the street, grew up and learned to play golf.
They got electric fence there now, probably. They got electric fence now.
But he went in there and beat all the pros, beat Harry Vardon and beat the best players in the world in a match. Which, you know, legendary story in the back in the early 1900s.
Oh, they don't call them the swines.
The pork bellies.
Pork
piglets.
No.
So the sows is accurate. Sows would be accurate. That is accurate, right? But, you know, that's a female pig. Not the heifers, BK.
God. Man.
Our man Tom McKay on the Specs text line says, y'all are misinterpreting NIL. It's pay separate from football, created by the ability to play football, not associated with the school or the team. There are legal rules, and the NCAA and coaches are screwed the pooch by fighting for the right to make money for someone over 16. So that becomes the issue, too. That's right. NIL is supposed to be outside of the university itself.
Right.
So, you know, that's the issue. How do you govern that? And here we are. But as you've said, and I've agreed, the collective, you know, if the schools are going to start collectives, the collective schools, especially at the Power 5 level, are going to have to unite and form some type of something.
Some boundaries.
Some boundaries.
Yes.
But again, will that be even legal?
Probably
you're talking
not.
About NIL, right? I mean, that's where we're at. But it's not supposed to be a pay-for-play scenario. It's not supposed to be a pay to come to my school. You know, but that's a chase the richest bag of money.
Yeah, you can say what you want about it, but it's not turning out to be just that. It's turning out to be totally different.
Oh, somebody said Francis Ouimet. He was a caddy who lived across the street. He caddied there. He was a looper. And that's where he learned to play golf, and that's when he went and beat the best. Because I've seen that movie.
The Looper.
That was Brookline. I'm almost certain that that's where they play the U.S. Open, one of the more historic courses of all time. It's also where USA won the Ryder Cup with Ben Crenshaw as the captain and Justin Leonard rolling in that incredible putt.
Mm-hmm.
And the big celebration. Remember all the champagne? And everybody called Americans poor sports for that.
Oh, did they get hammered?
Oh, because they were spraying the champagne and doing a big party. And come on, you soccer hooligans. No, because it's the gentleman's game. It's the gentleman's game. So, mind your P's and Q's. All right, so there's your NIL update. Bijan Robinson, that's pretty cool. Do you know the connection between Steph and Bijan Zay, or is it just Bijan's out there? He's just everybody knows how talented he is, and I don't know. Is there a connection here?
I have no idea. He took a picture with Draymond after the game, too. There's that picture floating around with him, Micah Parsons, and Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is wearing that bootleg Dirk jersey. I've never seen that color before in my life, but that's beyond the point. Bijan's out here. He's living his best life, and I feel him.
Living his best life. And he's going to be made the engine of the Texas offense this year with a lot of good offensive players. But winter workouts will begin right after Memorial Day, and it's a time that
they do their
Steve
summer
Sarkisian
thing.
Is called critical to the Longhorns.
Coaches can spend some time. This is where the coaches get a couple hours.
16 hours total. So a couple hours a week, essentially, is what they're going to be. Probably 4 hours a week for the month. So you'll do two on the field, two in the room, and that's what Sark has said is so critical to, especially the development of these offensive linemen and defensive linemen that are coming in. They recruited 7 new offensive linemen, including a couple of 5-stars, and on the D-line, which ones of those guys can get in here, get in the weight room, and absorb themselves into the playbook enough to be ready to make an impact come practice and come the season?
At least 2, I hope.
That would be helpful, right?
Yes.
And maybe 3, because we know by the spring game, the only early enrollee freshman offensive lineman,
that he was already playing.
Cole Hudson was starting at right guard. They're gonna let these young guys play. And I thought it was interesting, Jeff Howe, in our previous conversation with him last week, cited Texas A&M. Remember, A&M came in last year with all the changes. They had to replace 4 of their 5 offensive linemen, and they went ahead and put 2-3 freshmen on the line, took their lumps early a little bit and struggled. And then, of course, they had the quarterback injury at A&M last year when Haynes King got hurt, and they struggled. But then, of course, went on to win 8 games, beat Alabama. Beat the snitch, and by the end of the year, were pretty good, and now people are talking about them having one of the best emerging offensive line units in the SEC. Texas may be taking that same tack that, hey, get these guys on the field. They're really talented. Let's coach them up, Kyle Flood. And,
can't wait for the snitch to show up, Zay. Come on, man.
And I would say this for the Texas O-line.
Breaking the code.
You'd feel good with Bijan Robinson and the skill players, but do you want to break in a freshman quarterback behind that offensive line? Which I know Quinn Ewers is not listed as a freshman, but technically he still wouldn't be making his debut. If you have a young quarterback and a young offensive line, is that concerning? Does that maybe lead to Hudson Card? We'll see. Those will all be discussed.
Have you seen Quinn? You've seen him bombs?
I've seen them bomb.
Seen them bombs, Zay?
Yep, I've seen them. Still parsed, though.
You still parsed. Don't be.
There's Did you no see our tackling be. Last year?
Oh, come on now.
Make a tackle.
I don't get to see that part. You know what I mean? I don't see that in the spring part of it. It's going to be okay. We'll be okay, Zay.
Well, Francis, we met with a Q. 1913 U.S. Open was
wow.
1913 U.S. Open at Brookline.
I'm digging those 9 wins this year. I'm feeling it.
We'll see. It's going to be a fun week. We've got a lot to get into and a lot to recap from the weekend that was. Looking forward to Texas baseball at the Big 12 tournament. Can they make a run? Obviously, if they were to make a run and win that tournament at Globe Life, they may put themselves still in a conversation for a host situation. Most people still think that is a long shot. And people are wondering about Texas State because in the latest D1 baseball rankings, they have Texas State as a 2 seed in the TCU regional up in Fort Worth. But a lot of people making the case, mm-hmm. including Kendall Rogers, that, hey, 44-11, undefeated on the road in Sunbelt play this year. And the only series they lost in Sunbelt play this year, Texas State, was to Georgia Southern, who's a top 15 RPI team. I mean, they're a really good ball club. So, and Texas State has a bunch of quality wins in there as well. So we'll see. But most likely a two at this point. But hard to, you know, play 55 ball games. You've won 44 of them. Didn't lose a road game in conference play all year for Steve Trout's team. That is awesome down there. They have a really good club. And, you know, TCU sees Texas State coming in as a two. That is not favorable as a draw goes because Texas State's really good. We know that. All right, we'll be back. When we do, we'll pick up the conversations of the morning. Also, tee it up and get you ready for the rest of a busy Monday here on the Horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Goodest of the good this weekend, Buck and folks, was Texas women's tennis. They win the national championship. Sophomore Peyton Stearns could go down as the best player in the program's history. She's played the number one singles past two seasons and cruised through Oklahoma yesterday and through the weekend. She's phenomenal. And Howard Joffe's team, a national champion back-to-back years. Pretty awesome. Also, Ivan Melendez, Buck, finishes the campaign. We've highlighted all year. He hit a couple more home runs over the weekend. So finishes with 28 on the regular season. That ties the single-season school record. He's also got 85 driven in and 421 his batting average. That is his case for player of the year and hard to argue. Golden Spikes, go ahead and give it to him. Also, Justin Thomas, win seven-shot rally, historic rally to come from that far back. He needed a lot of help, including Mito Pereira on 18 going double bogey and cratering, but in the end, he is a major champion for the second time, both the PGA Championship. Should be mentioned, Will Zalatoris, who he beat in that three-hole aggregate. I don't know if you knew this. I didn't until I just read it. 27-year-old Will Zalatoris, the smooth swing out of the Metroplex. You realize that in his first eight major starts in majors.
Top tens, right?
He's got five top tens.
Yeah.
Including this year's, he was sixth at the Masters, second in this event. That ties him with one other golfer all time in their first eight starts in majors. Ernie Els would be the answer. Morikawa, Xander, Tiger. Tiger had one in his first eight major starts until he won one, is what it says here, which is pretty cool. So keep an eye on Will Zalatoris. He's got to work on that putter.
Yeah, the claw doesn't look comfortable to me in his hand.
Whatever you got to do, he's got to get that ball in the hole.
He's got little hands.
Ooh, little hands. Oh, what is he, Kenny Pickett?
No, I don't know, but he's got little hands.
Well, he's a smooth swinger. He's got that classic C swing.
He can hit an iron, though.
We also had Austin FC. That was probably a bad, maybe. They played to a draw with Orlando. We told you Orlando was good. Orlando City, they came into the second place in the East, and they really outplayed Austin FC in the first half. I know our buddy Glenn Davis will have a lot more on that match coming up in the
tonight,
the 7 o'clock show, Soccer Matters. I'm sure he'll have a lot on the Premier League's final day and final weekend, and he'll have the Austin FC thought. Look, it's still 7-3-3 for Austin FC. They're second place by themselves with 24 points. So a lot of season left, but playing well. And, yes, UT softball has advanced, so all part of the good.
Good stuff.
Bad would include Mito Pereira not being able to close on 18. That may, you know, historically, that may be his best look at a major ever. I mean, that's tough.
Yeah, just when you think these guys are going to be around every week, they're not.
Yeah, it's hard to win a major. I mean, we know that. And, you know, he might. I mean, he looked like he's got the game, but that was not a pretty swing either. Kind of felt like the nerves got to him there. But, you know, remember, they were talking down the back nine to Joaquin Niemann, his best friend, fellow Chilean, and they grew up playing junior golf together. And then Mito quit golf for a while and went and did motocross. He wanted to ride motorcycles.
Big old dude.
Yeah, and they were asking him, and Joaquin said he's fearless. He won't be afraid of this back nine. He won't bow to it.
And then he got to 18. And he made that swing.
I think he said he wasn't. And I'll, you know, give that guy credit because he stood there and answered all the questions.
Oh, he did, yeah.
That's stand up right there. And he said, you know, got to finish. So that was part of the bad.
Here's what they always, hey, Zay, he'll take a lot from that experience with him that he lost.
Yeah, but you can't learn from, you've never been in it before. And
no.
There is something you can take from that the next time, but will there be a next time becomes the question. Kind of feels like there will be another next time for Will Zalatoris.
Yeah, Will Zalatoris is pretty talented.
He is. First time I heard the name Will Zalatoris, he was Tony Romo's buddy, playing partner. Like Tony and he played all the time.
The Metroplex playing.
Well, and Will and Scotty Scheffler are good friends too. I mean, those guys grew up playing junior golf against one another. And
I bet the club.
Still surprised that Scheffler didn't make the cut. He just didn't play well. That was my pick. That was my pick. I thought he was going back to back with the majors, Buck. Didn't even play to the weekend. Boo that.
It'll be good in Brookline. Not many hills there.
Really?
No.
Not hilly in Boston right there?
No.
How far from Chestnut Hill is Brookline? You went to Boston College.
2 miles.
Also from the ugly situation, the Deshaun Watson story continues. I read this morning. According to Mike McDaniel of Sports Illustrated, the NFL is going to determine Deshaun Watson's suspension before the season starts. So they will inform the Browns in time to make plans, but to see what the suspension is going to be, no one knows.
So going to be more added after he comes back from the Bahamas?
With his team?
Yeah.
His team to the Bahamas? Not Baker, though? No Baker?
No Baker. What is Baker doing? What is my guy doing? I hope he's sharpening up his skills for the season, Zay.
He's looking for a
my
team.
Sideline reporter.
I told you, he's got to go be proactive and get himself out of there.
If not, that sideline gig is there for him.
Hey, also on the ugly side, by the way, on that Deshaun Watson thing, remember, none of his civil things, his civil stuff will not be settled by the season. So essentially the Browns are going to be, once he's able to play, are going to be putting a guy on the field. Remember, the Texans could have put him on the field last year. They just had, they were at odds, and they elected to make him a scratch every week and go with
Davis.
You
mean a guy on the field, he could lose a civil case?
Or, yeah, something really ugly could come. Now, I do believe this week, you know, HBO has the show Real Sports. There's going to be some sit-down conversations with a couple of the accusers. Oh, yeah, Bryant Gumbel and that team, that could, you know, that's the PR you.
Yeah, you want that.
Yeah, juicy.
And I know Zay will like this, too. I told you about Manchester City and the Premier League scoring three goals in 5 minutes to beat Aston Villa. Listen to this headline, very soccer. Aston Villa goalkeeper assaulted by fans during the pitch invasion.
Oh, no.
That is horrible. Hooligans. God. They invaded the pitch. That's like, that sounds like something that would happen down at College Station when you invaded their field. Remember that? The sacred field?
That's true. I was there.
Stay off our grass.
That's right. They bury the dogs there, correct?
I do think it is fair to say, how did you give up no goals for 85 minutes and 3 goals in a dang 5 minutes?
Losing your concentration.
I'm blowing it. It'd be like the Warriors losing that series at this point. Up 3-0.
It's over with, isn't it, Zay?
Yeah. Hey, Luca, it's not fun to joke about getting dunked on. Ooh, that's not cool. This is the playoffs.
Dang.
I think Patrick Ewing was joking when Scottie Pippen obliterated him in 94. No.
They still play that highlight. They'll be playing
the
Andrew
time.
Wiggins forever.
They play that highlight.
That one's forever now.
With Pippen all the time.
Hey, Buck, get some rest.
Now I'm going to try to
do
that.
Over, please. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Light the Tower is next. Shirts and skins. Ball don't lie. Right into Soccer Matters and then Sincerious. Have a great Monday, Zay. Thanks. Every Hour podcast at hornfm.com.